director, I'm going to keep my distance. So that is just out of an extreme of caution. I don't think I'm catchy or anything, but I do want to be careful. If my voice does give out and I can't make it, there are several people who are qualified to jump in and finish the sermon, just so you know. And I cannot believe it is October already. It snuck up on me. So, good morning. As this church approaches its stewardship campaign in November, the board requested that the month of October be an intentional time of community prayer, devoted to the future ministry of this church and the means by which to support that ministry. Because the work that this church does, the ministry of this church, is indeed up to you and the movement of the Spirit within your hearts. This church community regularly supports work to feed the homeless of our communities, to outreach to the trans and gender fluid communities, to offer care for those in need, and to provide a place of communion, a place of healing, wholeness, and nourishment, and a space of gathering and peace for community ceremonies, weddings, funerals, and memorial services. This is the work of this church, and we prayerfully request your prayers with all of these things in mind as we begin to plan the means by which to support this work moving forward in 2018. Now, let us pray. Loving Spirit, one who knows our hearts, one who intercedes for us, who intercedes when we have no words, one whose movement within us is deeper than words, we ask that you help us to pray. Let us pray from our hearts, from our true selves. Let us pray from our deepest desires and our hopes. Let us pray sincerely in all of your holy names. Let us pray. Amen. Prayer, it is a fundamental element to our faith tradition, as fundamental as gravity is to our existence on earth. And yet, while its existence is undisputed, the depth of its nature, our understanding of it, and experience with it is, in many ways, varies greatly from person to person. When it comes to prayer, we profess to do it a lot, and we may indeed do it a lot, but we don't talk about it a lot, as if doing so might somehow distract from the aura of its mystery and its strength. And yet I have indeed talked about it a lot in my life, taught it in many congregational care classes, and yet it is still as powerful and mysterious to me, even far more so today than it was then. When I first began exploring its beauty and gave my first sermon on it over 40 years ago, we become accustomed to one way to worship, one way to pray. How many of us often pray the prayer that Jesus taught us by rote, getting into the rhythm because it comforts us, but all too easily losing the meaning of the words? I confess that I do. My very first sermon was on that prayer, examining the meaning of each and every word, word by word. It was a reminder to me then, as well as now, to constantly think about what I'm saying, to consciously think about the words that I'm putting out there, and also how we become attached to a specific word that we may have to hear, failing to realize that the word that we're attached to may even present an obstacle to others, others who are seeking the meaning behind that word. What should matter to us is that meaning and action behind the word, the love behind the words that come from the heart. Now, if we look at our monotheistic Abrahamic siblings, the other religions descended from Abraham, they get really serious about prayer. Islam has 5 prescribed prayers per day. It's called the Salat. Judaism generally has 3 prescribed prayers a day. And Judaism also has other prayers for specific events and places. The Shema, for example, Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Ehad. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. It is written on parchment and contained in the mezuzah on the doorway of Jewish homes, which the faithful will touch upon entry and exit into their home. And some will even, after touching it, place their hand to their lips for a kiss. What a reminder of the sacred and holy in our daily lives. God has a vital and meaningful part of our comings and goings. There is even a Jewish prayer recited by the faithful upon, well, yes, going. Yes, even going to the restroom has a prayer. It's called the Asher Yatzar, otherwise known as the bathroom blessing. Giving thanks to God for health, the awesome miracle of our bodies, and offering gratitude that everything is in working order. Now, such a prayer may become even more meaningful to one as one gets more mature in life. Now, in fact, we just passed one of the Jewish high holy days, Yom Kippur, the holiest of the holy days, the Day of Atonement, which features a whole host of prayers of public and private nature, all designed to help the individual atone for wrongdoings done over the past year and to begin again refresh and new in the coming year. All too many in our own faith tradition practice only one type of prayer. And yet there are so many different kinds of prayer available to us, most with a long tradition of practice, from monastics to ecstatics, from mystics to contemplatives. Breath prayers, body prayers, extemporaneous prayers, form prayers, prescribed prayers, written prayers, even artwork, music, song, poems, dance, movement. So many ways to pray. And while prayer itself may have many different aims, paths, and results, prayer has one primary purpose: to communicate with God, to commune with the divine. Now, the heart of any relationship is communication. And when someone tells me that they feel distant from God, the first thing I want to ask is, how often do you pray? How often do you talk? It is like the longing that we may have felt in our youth, the unrequited love that we yearned for, who may have sat in the same room with us in school, but yet we could never quite bring ourselves to talk to. I know I had several of them. Can I hear an amen? Did you have one?
Amen.
Yeah, I think most of us did. We cannot place our Creator so far out of reach that we are unable to communicate. To communicate authentically. And what I think God wants from us most of all is our authenticity. Authenticity, whether it is grief, whether it is doubt, pain, loneliness, longing, gratitude, thanksgiving, or anger. Yes, anger. God is the only one in my life capable of taking the full force of my anger, and who also knows even before I and better than I the actual source and cause of my anger, from whence it comes. So yes, I have prayed angry prayers, simple angry prayers. God, I am really angry with you right now. And I'm also really angry with most of the people who say that they believe in you. Anger is indeed a part of any real relationship. Heather and I love each other, but there are times when we get angry with each other. And that's normal. That is natural. And I might suggest it is even an eventual part and product of proximity, whether physical or emotional. Get close to someone, and you are very likely to get angry with them at one time or another. In fact, some people may not even require a whole lot of proximity in order to elicit that response from you. But that's another issue entirely. So yes, I think what God wants from us above all is our authenticity, honesty from the heart. Today's pericope is sandwiched in between a story Jesus told regarding persistence in prayer about a woman who practically annoys a judge into granting her justice with her repeated petitions, and the story of the disciples wanting to chase the children away from Jesus, whose response was, "Let the children come to me. Whosoever does not receive the dominion of God with the same faith and humility of a child will not enter at all." So I always thought the location of this story in Luke about the Pharisee and the tax collector interesting. Who is more persistent than a human in need? Who is more authentic than a child? The Pharisee. Now, I know that for many of us who come from certain Christian denominations, Pharisees have almost always been cast as the religious counterpoint to Jesus. The fact is, he shared a lot in common with them. Pharisees in the time of Jesus were the common religious people. They believed in angels, bless you. They believed in a resurrection. They believed in an afterlife of sorts. As contrasted with the Sadducees, the other affiliation of the Jewish Sanhedrin, who were more elite, who did not believe in those things, and who held more to the letter of the law, whereas the Pharisees tended to interpret the law more in accordance with its spirit. Pharisees held to the belief that God could be worshipped anywhere, contrasted with the Sadducees, who were primarily the group associated with the high priesthood and the temple. And their sect pretty much went away with the destruction of the temple. Now, there is some emerging speculation that Jesus may have had so many problems with the Pharisees and vice versa because he was, perhaps, at some point, more actively involved and engaged with them. That perhaps he even originated among them. Certainly he held many views in alignment with the beliefs commonly held by the Pharisees. Now, with that thought in mind, perhaps we can more clearly see Jesus as a reformer. And the Pharisees, often cast in opposition, were simply standing in defense of a system that they were at the center of. Regardless, the prayer being prayed by the Pharisee is heavily loaded with a whole lot of I's. Did you notice that? I this, I that. I'm doing a lot of good stuff here. There is a lot of ego in that prayer, isn't there? Unless we think that Jesus was employing excessive hyperbole in reeling off the prayer of the Pharisee, there were some prayers not unlike that one, prayed by some rabbis when they left their place of study. This is from the Talmud. Quote, "I thank you, my God, that you have set my portion among those who sit in school and not among those who sit idly in the street. For I get up in the morning and they get up in the morning. I get up to words of Torah, and they get up to nonsense." Yes, Jesus is turning it up and amping it up a bit for emphasis, but you don't get the sharpness of his wit and his satire until you know that he was actually working with something similar that his disciples surely would have heard before. Thus, they likely would have found the exposition of Jesus even to be a bit humorous. And so in that prayer of the Pharisee, a lot of righteousness, a lot of what would be considered religiously good at the time. More than good, the things he speaks of are all over and above what would be expected of a good Pharisee. Yet at the same time, prideful, closed off, self-sufficient, and perhaps not entirely capable of receiving God's grace. And again, a lot of I and a lot of ego. And ego is not a place of authenticity. But the tax collector, his prayer is indeed a cry from the heart. From the heart. It is a plea stripped of ego and full of humility. A heart and soul in need. A heart and soul in need of prayer. Open to receive. To receive God's mercy. To receive the gift of God's grace. Who is the center of your prayers? Who is the center of your prayers? Is your heart in your prayers? Are your prayers sometimes like the ego-laden declaration of the Pharisee, or are your prayers more often a sincere cry from your heart, a cry from your real self? Take time to listen to your prayers, to listen to them carefully, to hear them as God hears them, and listen to what they tell you about yourself as you journey and grow in your faith tradition. Now, there are sincere prayers that do ask for blessings, that do ask for more. And you will note that the Pharisee, for all of his ego, did not ask for more. It's as if he already had quite enough. Thank you very much. Next Sunday, maybe we'll reflect on a prayer that does ask for more. The prayer of Jabez, or Jabez, or Jabez. But for this week, I would like you to pray, and I would like you to pray often and in many different ways. Cry from your heart. Anne Lamott writes, quote, "So prayer is our sometimes real selves, trying to communicate with the real, with truth, with the light. It is us reaching out to be heard, hoping to be found by a light and a warmth in the world." End quote. Prayers need not be lengthy or colorful or flowery. Anne Lamott goes on to say that a really great prayer is simply, "God help me." How many times have we said that? God help me. Probably not enough. Probably not enough. And even if that is too wordy for you, she offers three shorter essential prayers: help, thanks, and wow. So, as you join in prayer for the work of this church community, giving thanks for what we've done thus far and asking for help and clarity on our way forward together, do be mindful that communities and churches like people can have egos too. Help us to be real about ourselves. Help us as a church community speak from our heart. Pray for our church community from your heart. Let us be real. Let us be sincere. Let us be frequent. Let us pray.